Welcome to week two of this series we're calling Breakthrough. And listen to me, this month is about believing God for your breakthrough. This month is about believing God for your breakthrough. We started last Sunday by talking about the story of Joshua, one of the stories of Joshua, one of Israel's Old Testament leaders, doing battle against an alliance of five Canaanite kings. The story is found in Joshua chapter 10, and the odds were against him. And the truth is, he was fighting the battle he was fighting because he'd messed up, because he'd failed to inquire of the Lord. He'd made an alliance he shouldn't have made. And with regard to this significant decision, he acted without asking the Lord what to do. How many of us have been there? Right? We noted last week, and I just want you encouraged by this, that didn't stop the Lord from fighting on his behalf, all right? It won't stop God from fighting on your behalf. I've got myself in this pickle. What am I going to do, God? I know. Listen, God still knows how to step up. He's just that good. Joshua had a promise from God that he dared to believe, and so in the middle of the battle, when the sun was beginning to set and darkness would have worked to his adversary's advantage, Joshua dared to pray this visionary prayer, this bold, audacious prayer. Oh, sun, stand still over Gibeon. Oh, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. And the Lord answered that prayer in order that Joshua would have the necessary daylight to finish the battle, in order that Joshua could wrap up, could complete the victory against this five-king Canaanite alliance. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. What a request, and what an answer to prayer. And so here's what we concluded. I'm just trying to summarize last week very quickly. Here's what we concluded. When the need in your life seems too big for you, it's just the right size for God. And then asking big is okay, because what you ask God for is a direct reflection of what you believe about his capacity, his character, and his nature. Indeed, sun, stand still prayers, breakthrough prayers, ought to characterize our lives, because if your vision for your life isn't intimidating to you, it may be insulting to God. Years ago, I heard a story, and though I've heard it enough versions of it that I don't even know, I can't vouch for its veracity, but fact or fiction, it makes a legitimate point. And the story involves Alexander the Great, who had a general whose daughter was going to be married. And as an expression of appreciation and in honor of that general, Alexander agreed to pay for the daughter's wedding. And the festivities were held, and when the general gave Alexander's steward the bill, it was an astonishingly large amount. And if you've ever paid for a wedding, you know how quick those things can add up, right? And the steward went to, that was a good amen opportunity under your breath for some of you fathers of daughters, all right? And the steward went to Alexander and gave him the figures and said to Alexander, you know, what should I do? He said, this is an outrageous amount. What should I do? And Alexander replied, pay it. His request does me honor. He proves by what he asks that he believes me to be both rich and generous. He proves by what he asks that he believes me to be both rich and generous. And so it is, I'm just saying this for a minute, so it is with our king, my friend. So it is with our, he is a rich and generous ruler. And so if the size of your vision for your life and maybe the boldness of your request to God don't push the boundaries for you, don't stretch you beyond what you can do on your own, don't require something mighty of our mighty God, there's some possibility they're insulting to God. I've looked for a different way to say that this week, because I really don't think God sits on his throne and says, oh, well, I never. Right? It's not quite that, right? All right? Maybe they're disappointing to God, because he knows what he made us for, knows what he formed us for, and he longs for the fullness of his life to be expressed in us. Well, this week, I want to talk a little bit about some of the what-if stuff and some of the what-about stuff that comes about when you begin to think this way, when you begin to believe this way and pray this way and act this way about our God. Begin to actually live in deeper dependency upon him. because I wish it were so easy that one good Sunday service would settle it all. Amen? Right? Pastor, you knocked it out of the park today. Son, stand still. Holy Spirit, save my boy. And every moment since we met last Sunday, every moment has been victory ever since. Yeah, I hear that laugh. I wish it were so. That one moment's, you know, faith-filled believing, and suddenly it's all good, and you never have an ache and pain again, and you never have a bad day on the job, and your teenager never rolls their eyes again when you ask them to do the dishes. They're just filled with the joy of the Lord. Their countenance erupts, and the angels sing. But the fact is, you may pray a breakthrough prayer and discover instead that things get worse. You may pray a sun stand still prayer and find the sky keeps getting darker. You may ask God to make your marriage better and find that your spouse gets a little colder. Listen, after the time we enjoyed together last Sunday morning, this week may have sucked all that life right back out of you. Because of that, I want to take you to a passage of Scripture today where someone asked God to do something big. In fact, it's a New Testament passage. It's a passage from the Gospels where this individual was able to personally request something from Jesus as Jesus walked this earth in the flesh. And just as it seemed like what they asked for was about to happen, right? That the sun was about to stand still and the heart monitor was about to start beeping again and the prayers were getting answered and miracles were coming and faith was rising. Just as it seemed like things were about to turn around, instead, things got worse. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the Gospel according to Mark. Look it up on your smartphone. Watch it on the screen as we go. Mark chapter 5. I want to sum up about 14 verses of Scripture before we get to verse 35, which ultimately is where I want to pick up the story today. We actually did look at this story not too long ago in our Sunday morning services, but it addresses so well this challenge that we're talking about today that I want to just return to it again. Essentially, there was a man named Jairus who was an important ruler. He was an official within the synagogue, and Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter who was oh so very ill. So Jairus comes to Jesus and humbly asks of Jesus, I need you to come touch my daughter. I need you to come lay your hands on my daughter. And I just say to you honestly, is there any greater human need any human being could have? I say that, and I am aware that some of you have been there in ways that I simply haven't, that this story from the ministry of Jesus may even be a little difficult for you to hear because you've had a child who battled a life-threatening illness or maybe even lost a child to illness or disease or accident. And I know that Debbie and I have never really been there with our kids, so I cannot imagine what it must have been like for Jairus to leave his home knowing that if Jesus didn't act, he's leaving his 12-year-old daughter, and he knows that if Jesus doesn't act on his behalf, he may well never see his daughter alive again. But Jairus finds Jesus and makes his case. My daughter is near death. Please come and place your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And Jesus agrees to go. And so it seems like Jairus' prayer is being answered, right? Right? Yeah. Listen to me. Maybe last week's message was significant for you. I pray that it was. Or maybe you heard something on a podcast, or maybe you read something in Scripture, or something else inspired hope and faith in you. And with your hopes up, you're like, you know, you're like God's great man of faith and power. God can do anything, and it's going to happen in me, right? You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You know what I'm talking about? Where's my spiritual lightsaber? It's easy. It's easy to be in church and there, here, get inspired and dare to believe. And it ought to be. It better be. I want it to be easy to believe in this place. If we cannot connect in ways that ignite faith in our hearts when we are together, we either need to pray through or pack it up, one or the other. You know what I'm saying? But then, and you know how this story goes, you know how it goes in our lives, then you walk away from a Sunday morning service full of the joy of the Lord and confident that God has his hand on you and he's going to do for you just what he said he would, and you're going to get your breakthrough, and just as it seems like your miracle is happening, miraculous interruptus. That's Latin for my miracle was right there, and then life got in my way. Just to be clear, no, it's not. I don't speak Latin. I don't read Latin. But you know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I could taste it. I could smell it. I had it in my grip, and then this happened, or this happened. Maybe it was like Adam said to God, that woman you gave me, right? Oh, careful, careful. You gotta enjoy this silently, man. Right? She always finds a way to rob my joy, right? Women, he always finds a way to screw things up. Why's he got to be that way? You were headed towards victory, and then you got T-boned by life. And that's what happens to Jairus. His 12-year-old daughter is dying, but he finds Jesus, and Jesus says, it's okay, I'm coming to your house, I'll take care of this. And they are en route to the house, they are cruising Faith Boulevard, they are about to intersect with Miracle Lane, but on their way, this woman cuts in line. Dadgummit, right? That really answers my next question. How does it set with you when somebody cuts in line? Dadgummit may be the mildest expletive that comes out of this conversation. I don't know. I'm going to tell you, for me, it probably depends on the day. It depends on the ordinarily. Maybe no biggie. But listen, if my daughter is about to die and you cut in front of me, you're going to see a side of Pastor Kent you haven't seen. I'm going to drop some bows like Dusty Rhodes. Just for a few of my homies there. I never even heard that phrase till this week, all right? This woman cuts in front of Jairus. You're about to have your daughter healed. You are about to have your son stand still moment. You are about to have your Holy Spirit save my son prayer answered. And then all of a sudden, this woman who has had this, you know, debilitating, yes, but apparently not life-threatening issue for 12 years. Could she not wait for another measly half an hour? Honest. This woman interrupts the moment, touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and is healed. Well and good. Maybe even faith-building under the right circumstances, except for this. While this woman was cutting in line, taking Jesus' time and attention, and actually draining healing power from him. I'm not saying there's a limited supply, but Mark says that Jesus was aware. This is how he knew the woman had touched his garment. Jesus was aware that power had gone out from him, that every moment that was going on was one moment closer to Jairus' daughter's last breath. My daughter is dying. That's where we pick up the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. The Bible says that while he, Jesus, was still speaking, messengers from the house of Jairus arrived and said, your daughter is dead. Jesus has agreed to bring a breakthrough, right? Jesus has agreed to make the sun stand still. You thought you had it. You thought it was getting better. You felt like the promise was coming to pass. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever, you know, when it looked like it was finally going to come together and God was finally going to answer, and then pow! Somebody obviously more important cuts the line in the cosmic scheme of prayers, and apparently God is blessing somebody else because he's not blessing you. I'm guessing all of us have been there when God just seems to disappear from our situation. Now you've gone from having a sick daughter or fighting a losing battle, not just a, you know, just a bad situation, to now an irreversible situation. Now you don't just need healing, you need a resurrection, right? Now instead of getting better, it's gotten infinitely worse. That's the place where Jairus is, and that's the place where these messengers ask Jairus this question. Why bother the teacher anymore? Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? And I wonder if that's where some of you might be today. You've asked God to do some things in your life or through your life, and you've actually believed He could do it, and you've been alive with faith, and some of you probably don't even like feeling that glimmer of hope anymore because you've had the feeling before, but as soon as you get your hopes up, something brings them crashing down. I'm highlighting this month because I love the testimony, because I love the story. I'm highlighting this month the true story of John Smith. He's a teenager who fell through the ice of Lake St. Louis, went 45 minutes without a pulse, and his story is told in the movie Breakthrough. I'm not a guy who goes around endorsing movies, but it opens this week, and I am endorsing this one. I encourage you to see it. I told you last week that John was transported to a local hospital where the doctors eventually gave up. They invited John's mother into the room to say her goodbyes, and instead she prayed a sun stand still prayer. She prayed a breakthrough prayer. She prayed, please, Jesus, place your hands on him so he will live. And Jesus did. Jesus did. A heart that hadn't beaten for 45 minutes revived, and a pulse that didn't exist a moment before began its rhythmic succession again, and every medical professional caring for John was astounded. Once all the amazement had settled a bit, it seemed time to bring John's parents back to a place of reality. Here's how that moment is portrayed in the film.
I'm Dr. Garrett. I'm sorry to be meeting under these circumstances. Your son is alive, but his pulse is very, very weak. John's brain, like his organs, was deprived of oxygen for at least 20 minutes before CPR was administered. His injuries are catastrophic. Beyond rudimentary brain function, I've never seen a case like John's. The fact that he's made it this far.
I'm sorry. This far?
Doctor. If John ever regained consciousness, he'd be severely neurologically impaired. I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. But I don't believe John will survive the night. If you have family and friends that you want to call to come to see John, now would be the time to do it.
I've been told that you're the best, Dr. Garrett.
I'm an expert in my field, ma'am.
No, you're the best. World-renowned, in fact. Or was I misinformed?
No, you were not.
I know that you don't know my son. But my John is a fighter and he doesn't give up. So I need you to go and be the best for John. Nothing less. And you just let God do the rest.
Okay.
That doctor, and I am not dishonoring him at all, but that doctor's message was, why bother? John will never be the same, probably won't even last the night. Why bother? And maybe you have experienced that just as soon as you thought, maybe this can happen, maybe God can use me, maybe I can make a difference. Something flies in the face of everything you were believing God for, and something cripples you in a way that you wish maybe you had never even believed to begin with. You don't need to admit it out loud, but you've been there. Why bother? Have you ever gotten to that place in your relationship where you felt like, why bother? And you can make of this what you will, but the people who said this to Jairus were people of his own household. These weren't his enemies telling him this. These were his own people. Is it possible? Is it possible that the greatest doubts you'll ever face in your life won't come from some distant land or some anonymous source? They may be from those closest to you, and maybe even more importantly, from your own heart. Why bother? So I want you to hear this. This for me is the paradox of walking in faith and trusting God for big things. You want to see God move in your life. You want to see him use you. You want to see him come through. Here's the deal. On one hand, you've got God speaking to your heart and giving you hope that it's possible and making alive in your heart what the scriptures themselves say about how all things are possible. Everybody say all things. Come on. All things are possible to him who believes. But you've got the enemy of your soul right there as well, saying to you, why bother? Why bother? Why bother? You've tried to break this habit in your life for years. What makes you think this time is going to be any different? Why bother? Why bother trying to get your spouse to love you? Every advance you make just backfires in your face. Why bother asking God to resurrect your marriage? Why bother to pray about that child of yours who's trapped in a lifestyle of addiction and has been for years? You've done this before. You've been down that road. You've asked God and you've tried to live right yourself and nothing changes. Why bother sorting your finances and embracing kingdom generosity? You know, you've budgeted before, you've tithed before, you've given before, and you thought, now that I'm getting this together, God's going to provide all we need, and instead your money seemed to disappear, right? Why bother? Everybody in my family's overweight. Why bother trusting God to set me on a new path and break this pattern? Why bother serving at the church? Nobody cares. Nobody notices. Why bother dreaming? Why bother believing? Why bother daring? Why bother? And the list could go on and on and on and on. Here's something I love about Jesus. I'm thinking about putting these words from Scripture in vinyl lettering on my office door. Mark 5:36, maybe this should be a life verse for some of you. It says this about Jesus ignoring what they said. Oh, come on, that ought to make some of you happy. Some of you mad because I'm ignoring what you said. I think maybe that little verse of Scripture just ought to be tattooed on some of our hearts. Listen, we live in a world that rejects the reality of God in our day-to-day experience. Everybody I know wants to go to heaven when they die, but most people don't have much room for God in their lives in the here and now. But if we're going to walk by faith, if we're going to do great things for God, if we're going to see the sun stand still, if we're going to see breakthroughs happen, there will be times when you're going to have to lean into snippets of Scripture like Mark 5:36, ignoring what they said, because there are going to be times when not just the people around you, but even the voice within you are both telling you it's not possible, that you can't do it, that nobody has ever done it, and it won't happen for you. And I don't know, the fact that nobody has ever done it might just be the point, it seems to me. It's where it can't be done. It's where we don't have the capacity. It's where it can't possibly be so that we're looking for God to step in and bring a breakthrough. Somebody said it like this: if it's never been done before, maybe that's because God intends for me to do it. If it's never been done before, maybe that's because God intends for me to do it. Maybe God has left it just for you. It's never been done. That might be because it's among those good works that God prepared in advance for you to do. That maybe God has saved it for you and brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this, that you are alive at this moment in history, at this spot on the globe, to see happen through you, to have a part in you what's never never been done before. Ignoring what they said. Y'all, get out of here. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler what? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. You, on the one hand, you got Jairus' own servant saying, why bother? And all of us have heard those voices. But listen, here's Jesus. This is the voice we need. Jesus with the audacity to say, don't be afraid. Just believe. And the smartest thing Jairus did in this circumstance was to shut his yapper and believe Jesus. Shut his yapper. That's deep theological jargon. Bible says in verse 37 that Jesus didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, John, the brother of James. Just notice that you can't let everybody be in your life and have a voice in your life if you want to do or see great things for God. Because other people aren't seeing what you're seeing. Other people aren't stepping into what you're stepping into. When they arrived at the house of Jairus, Jesus saw the commotion and the people weeping and wailing loudly, and he went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? Why do you think all this commotion? Jesus, a 12-year-old, just died. But Jesus doesn't see a death. He sees the opportunity for a resurrection. Let me tell you that Jesus doesn't see your situation the way you see your situation. Jesus doesn't see your situation, especially the way those naysayers see your situation. You can be at the lowest point in your life. You can feel as lost could be. But if you will just keep moving forward in faith, Jesus looks at your situation. Jesus looks at your situation and says, don't be afraid. Don't give up. Don't count yourself out. Just believe. I lost my job. The devil says, why bother? May as well sit around and eat Doritos and watch The Price is Right. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Clean up your resume, right? Get online. Get out there. There is another day coming. Your best is not behind you. It is yet ahead of you. God does have a plan for you. But my marriage failed. And the devil says, why bother? You'll never get relationships right. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Sort this thing. I'm the one who invented human relationship. I'm the one who formed you with the capacity to give and to receive love. And trust me for healing. And trust me and listen to me for your future. Friend, there's something new God can do in your life. There is something better he can do and is working to do in your situation. But you've got to learn how to hold this tension, how to live in this reality that every time potential for faith is born in your life, the enemy of your soul, you can bet on it, is going to be right there saying, why bother? You got to know what to do with that voice. The Bible says in verse 40 that after Jesus makes this audacious statement, why are you crying? She's not dead. She's sleeping. The Bible says they all laughed at him. That was not a good strategy, just for what it's worth. Don't go there, right? The Bible says he had sent them all out. You need to do that with your doubts. You need to do that with all the reasons the enemy gives you why you can't change. Why you can't become the someone greater that God wants you to be. Why you can't impact lives. Why you can't make a difference. Why your family can't be brought under the banner of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus put them all out. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. And he went into where the child was. He took her by the hand. He said to her, Talitha Kaum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12. They're explaining. She's old enough to walk. This isn't an infant. She was 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know this. And what? Told them to give her something to eat. We serve a safe. How many of you can appreciate that? We serve a Savior who is so cool, calm, and collected that he raises this little dead girl and then has the presence of mind to make sure she has something to eat. Fix her a sandwich, right? Friend, God is not freaked out by, God is not overcome by what to do in your situation. He's not freaked out with it. He's not somehow worried about that problem that you're worrying about all night long. The battle, we said it last week, is already won. And when the enemy of your soul whispers or even shouts to you, don't bother. I want you to hear the voice of the Savior. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Remember the story of Peter walking on the water. Disciples out on the boat in the middle of this massive storm, and here comes Jesus walking on the water towards them. Friend, I want you to know that that was one instance where Jesus didn't calm the storm, yet the storm continued. The boat maybe breaking up, taking on water, and Peter prays sort of a sun stand still prayer, a breakthrough prayer. If it's you, Jesus, bid me come to thee. And Jesus says, come. That's all he says. Just come, right? Maybe that's all he gives you, just one word, no water walking certification course, no curriculum, no 12-part series. He just says, come, just come, and Peter does it. He walks out, and there's winds, and there's waves, and Peter then even there gets caught up in the terror of the moment and goes down. So what? Listen, so what? He was close enough to Jesus that Jesus could help him right back up. Oh, come on. Some of y'all need to get happy about that. Come on. Some of y'all need to get happy about that. Even if you go down in the waters, if you're close to Jesus, he's right there to pull you right back up. Don't be afraid. Just believe. The scriptures are full of men and women who could have said, why bother? Abraham could have said, why bother? You're 100 years old. God's telling you to put a little Marvin Gaye on and chase your wife around the tent. Abraham could have said, why bother? Joseph could have said, why bother? Spent 13 years unjustly imprisoned and enslaved, but he remembered the promise that God gave him when he was just a young boy, and he continued to believe that God had a plan. Moses could have said, why bother? He was a stammering stutterer. After nine plagues had been unleashed on Egypt, Pharaoh still wouldn't let his people go. At what point do you just say, this really isn't going to work? Maybe we should just throw in the towel and forget it. But Moses remembered the promise that he would lead his people out of that land of slavery into a land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua could have said, why bother? We talked about the day when the sun was going down and the sky was growing dark, but Joshua remembered God's promise, and God did the very thing that Joshua had the audacity to ask him and believe him to do. Paul, the New Testament apostle, could have said, why bother? They beat him 5 times. They stoned him within an inch of his life. He was shipwrecked, but he had a charge. He had a commission to fulfill. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may complete the task God has given me and finish the race, testifying to the gospel of the glorious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus could have said, why bother? We've sort of ignored it, but this is the Sunday. This is the Sunday churches across the world are celebrating his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Everybody singing his praises. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And less than a week later, when he was hanging on a cross, betrayed by one in whom he had invested for 3.5 years, and the truth be told, betrayed by the whole of humanity, hanging on a cross, suffering death at the very hand of the people he came to save, having torn flesh from his back and having beaten him beyond recognition, he said what? He did not say, why bother? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He could have said, why bother? Instead, he said, it is finished. Oh, come on. All right. No, hang on. You shout after this then, all right? 3 days later, let's get to the shouting time then, all right? 3 days later, he kicks the end out of a borrowed tomb and proved once and for all that it is possible, that it doesn't matter how dead your situation, your circumstance means, seems today, we serve a God who defeated death, hell, and the grave, who is himself resurrection life, who will prove the same in your broken place. So don't be afraid. Just believe. Come on your feet, everybody. On your feet. I want you to sing it with gusto. Come on.